Welcome to BIPOC News on the Jewish TV channel. Thanks for joining us. I'm Laura Kessler, here today with Danny Rakoff, our Jerusalem correspondent. Danny, what's the latest on the ground in Israel?
Hi, Laura. That's a big question. There's so much happening simultaneously. There are a whole bunch of concerns and developments that have taken place over the past few days. Of course, the main big news is the four hostages that were recovered over the past 48 hours in Rafah, where they were found, of course, to be dead, which has been heartbreaking across the spectrum for the country. That's a big story. The additional concern for the public over here and big news is the development in the north, where Hezbollah and the IDF are engaging and have been for the past few months in a war that is evolving into something bigger and is very concerning, because we're not speaking about Hamas here. We're speaking about an adversary that is far more dangerous, bigger, better trained, and we can talk about that a little later on if we have time. Of course, we have the issue with Gallant putting pressure on Netanyahu pertaining to the post-Gaza outlook and what will be the case over there, which is causing a lot of political friction. And a couple of other things that are taking place as well, such as the impending expansion in the Rafah operation, as well as certain places in Gaza that are being re-entered at the moment due to Hamas's head coming up over there as well. So there are a lot of things taking place simultaneously, and we're trying to make sense of all of it.
How do Israelis feel about the current relationship between Israel and the Biden administration?
So I don't think that people are afraid that America is turning its back on Israel, so to speak, totally. But there's certainly a sour taste left in people's mouth and a feeling of betrayal in the specific issue, which is really a danger of not receiving the specific consignment of artillery shells that Israel is expecting, because, as you, I'm sure, are aware, the overall $1 billion deal of weaponry being supplied to Israel that Congress passed is still coming through. But I think the concern really is that it gives a sense of Israel being left alone, and that the United States is not, or specifically Biden and his administration, is not grasping the magnitude of Israel's actual struggle for survival right now, and that our enemies will feed off this and use it to their propaganda, and not only propaganda, but their actual assault on Israel when it comes to this war.
So as you know, we have a lot going on here with dramatic crises on campuses. What is the understanding of the rise in world anti-Semitism from the perspective of the average Israeli, and how much do they know about what we're dealing with over here?
Yeah, it's a very good question. So I would say that there is a fair amount of coverage here taking place on the news, and Israelis, of course, are social media addicts as well, so they are certainly getting through their various feeds and platforms all kinds of information and being exposed to what's taking place to Jewish communities in the United States, in Canada, in England, Australia, France, all over the world, obviously. I think initially it took many Israelis by surprise, and they were fairly shocked by the false narrative that was being portrayed about them. But I think it slowly dawned on most Israelis that anti-Semitism has not gone away, and it's returned in, you know, insidious, new evolving of a very old disease that has always affected society, and it resonates with them that, thank God, we have a state. So I think there's a lot of concern. You know, most Israelis have friends and families that are scattered around the world as well. There are many Israelis who do live overseas. We've seen some attacks this week in Belgium, an Israeli and his daughter who were attacked at a rail station. We've seen in Stamford Hill in London, he's having to use armed restraint in order to stop a night-worldy terrorist, a synagogue burnt in France, and Israelis are aware of this. Sometimes the question is, well, why aren't Jews coming back to Israel? But I think that is a knee-jerk reaction.
That's the wrong, I can tell you, that's the absolute wrong question for Israelis to ask us. For anyone trying to build bridges with us, that's not the right tone to take, because I think there is an equal sense of Americans don't know what's going on in Israel a lot of times, which is absolutely true, but the reverse has been true also. And what people are just now figuring out now is nothing new. We've been screaming it. We Americans have been screaming it as well to our fellow Americans sometimes, unfortunately, but also to Israelis. I'm not sure that if the average Israeli understands the tense situation here. It's as if he's choosing Michigan above the Jews, not just Israel, but above us too, you know, very much that we share a fate here. So it's very tense. There's a lot of complexity there, for sure.
No, certainly. And I'm not saying that that's the question. I'm saying that that is what people are thinking. What we do need to take into account is that Israel is a country that's made up primarily of refugees who come from the Arab world and who come from the West and Europe. And they have a long memory of anti-Semitism and its danger and its complexity. But I think the question becomes, when Jews, and you speak about we have known this, and I know that those of you who are activists and those of you who are involved in Jewish identity and the aspects of Jewish social life, et cetera, perhaps are far more aware than the average Jewish American who maybe is a little bit more assimilated. Their identity wasn't in question so much. So
definitely.
I know the question is a very sensitive one, and it isn't a response that is going to give an answer to the problem. But I do think it is one for diaspora Jewry to consider long-term for their children and grandchildren.
Many people are. Jewish TV channels actually starting an emergency diaspora campaign specifically, which we'll be talking more about. Because no matter where you are on the planet, if you're a Jew, it's almost like a part-time job following all of this. But certainly Israelis are on the very front lines. And, you know, just how in general do Israelis feel the war is going?
I think that there is a split on several levels in our society at the moment. I think that perhaps the average Israeli, and we would say those are the middle ground, in other words, not the far left and not the far right, who are basically a significant minority on both sides, who are not following the middle ground, which most Israelis identify with, which is having a society that is able to sustain its Jewish identity, its democratic identity, and have a unity where we are able to overcome our foes. So I think the solid ground is the Israeli in the center. And I think there's a very strong will over there to win this war and to get the hostages back and to take care of the various fronts that are unattainable and ignoring anymore, such as the north of Hezbollah, and, of course, Hamas in Gaza and Judea Samaria, the West Bank, where things are heating up as well.
Yeah. And I know we'll be talking to you more soon about the future and the support of Netanyahu and his party. But in general, right now, what really are the prospects for us getting all the hostages back?
Well, in my opinion, we will get them all back. The very disturbing and sad reality is we're not sure how many of them we're going to get back alive. So I think that most Israelis feel that if there isn't a negotiated conclusion to the release of the hostages, then Israel has no choice but to put military pressure on Hamas and keep pressing forward until either they capitulate or we come to an agreement.
we're running out of time, but I wanted to ask you, since it's something people talk about a lot here and nobody is in agreement, how do the people in general, does Netanyahu have the support of the people?
No, I don't think so. The polls are showing that his support is dropping across the board. I think there are a number of reasons for this. I think that he's been held accountable for this war, but he is accountable and responsible for much of what has happened. But if you go back to 2004, I mean, these issues with Gaza were already taking place. This is administration after administration of mishandling of the situation. To all the administration's defense, I think that they were well aware of going into Gaza would unleash world condemnation and a rise in anti-Semitism around the world. None of these things came as a surprise to the leadership of Israel on the left or the right. People are well aware of what the consequences are of waging a war in the 21st century with a population that is exploited and used as human shields. But what I think I would like to point out is that there are a lot of political interests that are exploiting the hostages, and certainly the hostages are the main priority and for the families of the hostages, and that's their job. Their job is to put pressure on the government in order to do what needs to be done to bring their families and their loved ones home. There's no doubt, and nobody can criticize them for that. However, what I would say is that that's not the job of a government or a military to place 125 people in front of the well-being of 10 million. We are in a state of war, and I don't think really if and when Netanyahu is replaced that any government would deal with this very much differently. This is an existential crisis. We are in a war unlike any other war we've been in since 1948. And I'm not sure if everybody is aware of what that actually means. Hezbollah is sitting on our border with over 150,000 long-range missiles with heavy payloads. Most people are predicting that by the middle of the summer, there'll be a full-scale conflict over there. And that's a very different scenario to what Israel would be facing as far as her infrastructure, her population centers, and her military. And her response, unfortunately, at that point, would be far more dramatic than her response on Gaza. And we know what Gaza has led to as far as world opinion, as much of those opinions are based on lies, exaggerations, and propaganda. That's just the 21st century blood libel. But in Lebanon, it might be real. It might be real. And I think that's going to be a game changer if it happens, which it seems inevitable that it is at some point, to the Jewish communities in diaspora and to the Israeli population in Israel. But we will have to find our tenaciousness and our courage to make our way through that when it comes to play.
Well, we'll be talking to you much more about that as it unfolds. Danny, thank you so much for joining us today. Please keep us posted and stay safe.
Thank you so much, Laura. You too. Shavua tov.
Shavua tov. Well, that's it for this BIPAC News Weekend Update. Subscribe to our podcast and follow us on social media. And join us next time for more news about Israel and the diaspora. For Jewish TV Channel, I'm Laura Kessler. See you next time.